Hey, and just in case you missed that, you are listening to Tripping the Void with Sarah Lee, Seraphine Hurley, and Laura Lee Podfin. Thank you, Laura Lee, for actually being here. As always, my best friend in the world and partner in crime.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. As you say, we're talking about time travel tonight, and we go yes. all around the world usually on our show. First of all, I want to remind people, if you're listening, feel free to tune in on YouTube. We've got the chat room over there, United Public Radio Network's YouTube channel. There's the live chat. We try to make you part of the show if you've got questions or comments or anything like that. You can watch the show. But we were just before we started, and I know it's about time travel. Maybe these people are coming from another dimension, but what is going on? Like crazy stuff today, right?
Yes. Lots of crazy stuff. I mean, people are talking about that some of the stuff that's happening is having to do with a lot of the changes in time and the time slides that have happened and the time slides that they've tried to fix. And have you folks heard of this? I'd like to hear from the chat room or at YouTube or under United Public Radio. Or if you're listening, you can always feel free to call in. And let us know what you think or what you have heard about some of this stuff where, you know, that Laura Lee and I can't speak for Laura Lee, but we're pretty one, you know, in our belief systems and our thought processes, we're pretty open-minded
yeah.
about a lot of things, but some things are just like, but time travel definitely is a thing.
Oh, no. Yeah, definitely time travel. We've talked about this before, but I think it's important, especially with what's going on, depending on your school of thought. Some people believe that this is what's been talked about in certain circles. This is the ascension into the fifth dimension. And dimensions obviously have to do with time. I was joking about this last night on our host chat about whenever the Dell doesn't, he'll say he told me something and I know he didn't, or he doesn't remember me telling him something. I will mutter under my breath, that's because I was in a different time portal than your time dimension than you. Cause I think we can shift time dimensions. I really do. And I've seen proof of it. Science has been looking at this kind of thing. Our friend Augie Nost, I'm going to bring up again tonight. He has a time resonator machine. He's got photos on his website. He figures he missed about by 3 minutes. He says he went six months into the future, not physically, with astral travel. And when he came back, he took pictures before and after and completely different pictures. The dates are timestamped too, so you can tell. Like, it wasn't doctored. I don't think Photoshop was around when he did this. So... I do want to say hi to our chat. You wanted to ask them. So we've got Zach Mann says, good evening, ladies.
Hey, Zach. JP
says, evening. I have a good internet connection tonight. Woohoo! We're talking about time travel. And Sarah, you had said you want to hear from the chat room. What was the question again exactly?
Have you guys all heard of that we're probably possibly suffering the repercussions currently in current world events having to do with time slippage or time travel, people trying to alter timelines to get their way, either geopolitically or financially, what do you guys think about that? Have you heard anything?
Well, I'll watch the chat for it. But what I do want to add also is, you know, both of us, actually Sarah doesn't say it as much as I do, but she's quite a gifted psychic and medium herself.
Thank you.
You are. I'll have to ask you about that video afterwards. I forgot to ask you that I sent you from the reading for Pac-Man last night. But, there is no time, space, or time and space over on the other side, if you will, across from the veil, whether you want to believe it's heaven, hell, whatever you want to call it. I believe there's different dimensions on top of that. But supposedly, also, there are gazillions of versions of each one of us in a different timeline. And the only thing it makes me think of is what the Dell watches The Flash, and they have these crossovers with Earth One and Superwoman and Earth 30 and all these different things. But if that really is that really exists. Maybe it does. Like, you know, you've even heard of predictions from people of things they'll say are going to happen. They haven't happened, but have they maybe happened in a alternative dimension, if you will, of Earth? I don't know. Hard to say.
Or where did it all land, and how are we, you know, because I've experienced time slippage and all kinds of weird, freaky time stuff throughout my travels and throughout my life. And there's been some stuff that I absolutely cannot explain, but I will tell you, I will even take a polygraph if you want me to. I am not lying. I swear on my daughter's eyeballs. You know how much I love my kid.
I know you get this too, Sarah. People, and I'm also going to read the comment that was here in the chat room, but you know, people say to me, I've got something really weird. I don't think you're going to believe me. And then they'll tell me, but what I say to them is, try me. There's probably something you can't tell me that will shock me, or I'll think it's weird, because some of the stuff we hear, we see, we found in our research. Would you agree, Sarah? Shady D says, I've not heard the theory that you'd mentioned, Sarah. She said, but I have another theory that involves the quote unquote plan. The world had become, or had come to, a very defined divide. COVID is organic and COVID is manufactured. We have never, ever been so completely divided like this. So our energy is working against us, like two walls going in different directions. I don't think I heard that theory before either.
And what was the source of that, if I may ask?
I don't know. That's Shady D. We'll have to see what she said for the source. Because I don't quite understand that it's come. I understand about the divide, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
That COVID is organic, and COVID is manufactured. Oh, she said that's just her theory. Well, anything that's manufactured, I guess you could look at, or even anything really on this planet is some sort of organic. I mean, you could really break it down to, are we really living in the Matrix? I mean, when I first watched that movie, you know, I was like, never mind that I love Keanu Reeves, but I was like, this is such a strange movie. It all makes sense now.
Absolutely. I love that movie and the soundtrack and the clothing.
Oh, the clothing. Yes. Looking for the clothing. As I'm wearing my Metallica shirt.
Now, wait a minute. He tried to kiss me and he had bad breath.
Who?
He tried to kiss you.
Who tried to kiss you? What?
Keanu Reeves. At a party in LA.
Oh my. What? Joe, I'm going to the next party in LA with you then. I don't care if you're hanging with Keanu Reeves, I want to have a conversation with him.
It had nothing to do with knowing him. Trust me on this.
Wrong place,
wrong time. Wrong place, wrong time. I can't say no more than that. I'm under, you know, one of those little things you got to sign.
He's looking for a little of that Bayou loving you got going on.
Wait, you live right now? I can't say on live radio. Lord.
We're getting you off the show then. We're getting you after that. I love Keanu.
Yeah. So. And I'd love him more if I wasn't taller than him.
Well, he's pretty tall. He's not as tall. Well, I don't know. He's probably about 5'10", I think. Well, we'll have to ask Joe. He'll know.
Hey, Joe, how tall is Keanu?
I'm about 5'11 and a half. So he's about 5'10". He came right up, you know, just about kissing level, you know. Anyway.
Enough to tickle your beard.
Anyway.
Well, Shady D said, well, he is a good Canadian, or I was going to say Canadian boy. That's why I said Canadian. Friendly. Not that friendly. Not that friendly. I'm sorry.
That's the wrong part of Canada. Somebody who's into Jeffrey or something, or Molly, dancing with Molly.
Hall passes, I'll tell you. So sorry, Adele, but if I was at a party in Canada and wanted to kiss me, I'm not saying no.
Actually, I just told him thank you, and I was, you know, just so like, wow, man, you wanted to kiss me, dude. But in the end, I had to tell him, I don't swing. I'm not that kind of monkey. I don't swing at him kind of tree. So. I was polite about it. I was like, you know, hey, dude, you know, because I was like, hey, I thought she's a big woman guy. You know, what's going on here? But anyway, we'll leave it at that.
He
was very sweet. Sent me chocolates and roses, and I don't know.
Oh, come on, really?
It was a bit strange. What can I say? It was a bit weird.
Full of it.
Wow. I don't know. Are your eyes brown there, Joe?
Yeah. I'm calling that one. No chocolates and whatever.
No, I was in LA filming for Ancient Aliens, and I was staying at this really nice hotel at the very top of this hotel, and I'm serious, he was sending me chocolate and roses. Actually, chocolate with chocolate roses.
Wow.
Maybe he's an alien and he recognized his kin.
He recognized something, all right? Right? The ancient kin.
Wow, he likes bears or something.
I was just like, wow, dude. I'm still like, I was flattered, you know. Just not,
I think I heard the story. You just didn't give the name. Now I'm putting the details together because
I kept the card with the little signature on it and everything. So sweet. Dried out the roses.
Did you get a
chocolate? I ate the chocolate ones. They were good, man. They were high dollar chocolate. I kept the card I sent me, you know, as a little signature on it.
Did you get his phone number?
Yeah, it was on the cover.
Tell you what, Joe, we're hitting you up so you can ask for our show.
We'll call him and say, hey, you remember this guy from the hotel at the airport? Hey, can I? He said we could call you.
Yeah.
It's a good thing you live in Canada.
You're going to want to have him on our show.
All right, I'm getting out of here.
We need him as a guest.
Yeah, just so everybody knows that Joe's not into that, even though Keanu Reeves is a decent looking gentleman, and he's not into space docking.
There's nothing wrong with you if he likes it like that. There's a lot of good looking gay guys. I mean, ain't wrong with that. That's
never asked Joe to get a hold of me.
I just kind of was confused because I know I don't look like that. I'm like, come on, dude, calm down. Anyway, we're gonna get out of here. I'm getting out of here before I get in trouble and get sued.
I think we're gonna harass Joe. We're gonna get him to use his sex appeal on Keanu so we can have him on our podcast.
Shake it, Joe.
Come on, do it for your host.
All right, I'm not talking to y'all anymore.
I love it. This is awesome. But we were about the Matrix. They're making it number 4.
Yeah, I know. I'm really stoked about that.
Oh, wait, I'm going to ask if I could have a part in it. Shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're going, I think they're just started to film.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Supposed to be out in like a year and a half or something, 2 years.
And John Wick. I love those movies too.
Yeah, the new John Wick is going to be out next summer.
Number 4?
Yeah, Wick 4.
He makes good movies though. 47 Ronin, that was an amazing movie. Sweet November, love that movie. I mean, I could go on. And I don't watch them because obviously he's in them, but I'm not like a super fan that I only watch Keanu movies, but I've seen him over the years. He makes really good movies. Even Del's favorite movie he's in, and I never knew this, but he told me right from the beginning, I don't know why he loves this movie, him and his boys, Point Break.
Oh, Point Break? That's a great movie.
That's his favorite movie. Hated the remake, loves the movie. That's his favorite movie.
And I just can't get over, you know, when we first saw him in, you know, Bill and Ted's.
Oh, I was thinking that.
And every time I see him in John Wick or whatever, I keep waiting for him to say, dude. Yeah. Like I said, they need to do a sketch or something and have it be super serious and then have lean over and go, dude. Or be righteous to each other. And then reload a clip or something.
Yeah. That would be good. Is it comedy or die? You do those skits with actors? Maybe they can talk about doing this.
I'd like to see him do a drunk history.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Drunk history of Keanu Reeves.
He's a Canadian. He can probably drink if he drinks. I don't know. Maybe
the producer
drink.
Of the show's Canadian.
Well, there you go. There you go.
There's a lot of Canadians in Hollywood.
There is. And for those of you that may not know, it's kind of like a Canadian SNL, but not even close. Kids in the Hall.
Yeah,
they're coming back.
Kids in the Hall.
They're coming back for 8 episodes. And another great one, folks, I'm going to tell you about, it's all females. The Baroness Von Sketch. It's absolutely hilarious. All Canadian. Absolutely. I've sent you a couple clips from them before. I know I have, Sarah. It's a troop of about 5 ladies. Now we're around the world and back again to the theory.
You want to know what my favorite Canadian movie is?
Oh, God. Most of them suck. What?
Balls to the Wall. Carrie and Diener.
Oh, yes. Is the first one's FUBAR, or is the second one FUBAR?
Yeah, it's FUBAR and then Balls to the Wall.
That's what I thought. FUBAR was the first one, Balls to the Wall. Yeah, those guys are awesome. They had a TV show for a while too.
They're legit Canadian. If you guys have never seen like this beyond Bob and Doug McKenzie, yeah, that true Canadian comedy with people being and their Canadianness, the Balls to the Wall and
Head
the other
one
just 80s are so awesome, and it's so funny.
Yeah, and there's a reason why it's called Balls to the Wall, and it's not what you think.
Exactly.
Bob and Doug McKenzie, how's it going, eh?
Yeah, take off, eh? Hoser.
Off, eh? Yeah, hoser. Mm-hmm. That was a good one. Yeah, Diener, and he's
Terry and Diener.
Terry and Diener. And then the chick in there too. She played
the big fat girlfriend.
Okay, well, that girlfriend is actually a singer, and there's a really great documentary about Jeff Healey I've seen before. It's on YouTube. Who is a Canadian artist. People might have known of. He was blind and passed away of cancer actually quite quickly.
Yes.
And it was sad, but they did a tribute kind of memorial thing. The girlfriend that was in there in FUBAR and Balls to the Wall is actually a good friend of his and a musician. So you see a lot of her, and she's nothing like her character in the movie.
Yeah, no, not at all. She's completely different. But yeah, aside from, you know, great Canadian comedy and theater and all of that, but if you want legit Canadianness, that's awesome.
Yeah. Kids in the Hall, Baroness Von Sketch, a whole bunch of, there's all kinds of good stuff in those two movies. Be prepared though, if you're going to watch FUBAR or Balls to the Wall. Grab yourself your favorite drinks and munchies and whatever else you do for entertainment.
And Kleenex, because there are a couple sad areas.
Yes, but it's not an intellectual film.
It is definitely not intellectual, but it's more intellectual than Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, that's true. That's true. So, actually, I have some things in Canada aren't bad. Like, one thing I am going to mention, there was a movie that came. I never watched this series. It was called The Res. And it was about life on First Nations reservations. And the movie was actually really good. It started out with a murder of a Native woman, a young Native girl. And it was a really good movie. I wish I could remember the name of it. But like I said, we do have some interesting movies and things, because you know, they don't have the budgets that Hollywood producers have. Mind you, Vancouver is known as Little Hollywood, Vancouver, BC. Yeah, that's where Supernatural's filmed.
Yep, along with a lot of the X-Files was filmed there, between there and Seattle. And and the only reason I know that is because I had friends of the family that actually owned boats and cars and stuff that they were actually renting to film on, like one where Scully starts to age after she gets in contact with that stuff on the ship in the middle of the Puget Sound or whatever. That was a friend of the family's boat.
Interesting. Well, you know what I never knew, and then we'll get back to time travel, I promise, but
yes,
I think he was born in the city, and then his family went to Toronto for I think till he was eight, he grew up there. And then he lived there before he was with me for about 10 years, the previous relationship. But I didn't realize this, but like movies, big Hollywood movies, like for example, Spider-Man, the one with Edward Norton in it. Mm-hmm. When you're watching some of the footage, all the big buildings and stuff, they actually shut down. It's called Yonge Street. It's massive in Toronto. Practically, I'm not from Toronto, but anybody practically knows where it is in Toronto. And you can see footage of Yonge Street in the movie. Like they footage from Toronto. Yeah, it was Del that pointed it out to me because I didn't know that. Apparently you do that quite a bit with bigger blockbuster movies, like say you need, you know, busier street or lots of buildings and stuff. So you'll find lots of the bigger movies. You'll see a clip of, and they use other cities too. It's not just Toronto. So it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, like in Deadpool 2, when they're filming and they're going, Deadpool's warning his X team that they're going to drop in by air and it's going to be a wicked crosswind. They're dropping into Vancouver, Canada. And as I watched that entire scene, I'm like, and I've been here and I know where they're going over here. And you can't get there from there.
It's all like, I've been here, I built that, because he does
And it's like, that's all a one-way street. It's like, they can't go there.
Well, they shut the whole thing down.
Yeah, I know, but I'm like, whoa.
Ryan Reynolds, and there you go. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that got me thinking, talking about time travel. How do we not know that we may have so-called mutants, or we may have, okay, I'm going to put a crazy theory out there, possibly for the future. Maybe this is something from time travel. Someone went forward, came back with this idea. We say we get a COVID vaccine or something, or some kind of vaccines, and it actually causes mutants like these movies, the comic books and stuff. Never thought of that, right?
Like Planet of the Apes style.
Ooh.
Where the apes start thinking independently.
You never know. Or maybe there is a dimension that's like that. We're the, like, Planet of the Apes. We're the ones that don't speak and get treated like apes. And apes are like humans. But what made me think about that was my youngest son, Jesse, or Justin. It was a couple of years ago. And he's got severe autism. And one day he said to me, Mommy. And I said, what? And he says, I have superpowers. And I said, oh, wow, that's so cool, Jesse. What are your superpowers? And he kind of looked at me like, duh, you don't know. He didn't say that. But then he said, well, number one, I always know what the animals are thinking, because both of my boys actually can communicate with animals. And I said, well, what's your second one? He said, my autism, of course. Like, what if autism really was? You never know. The numbers are increasing. You see a real high level of intelligence with a lot of these people that are mostly boys. Women are, or girls are too. But I don't know. Like, what if that's actually coming from the future somehow, some way? Or look at Terminator, talking about movies. Like, that movie stuck with me. The first one, it all got started by Skynet. Do you guys know there is a company out there by the name of Skynet that makes cybernetics and things like from that movie? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the question, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Did they start the company because of what they saw in the movie? Did they know something from the future maybe that they had this going before?
You never know. You never know. Well, I was going to say there's an episode of, I believe it's The Twilight Zone, where
you read my mind. I knew you were going to say that. I forgot.
And it's an old black and white one. And I saw it way back when I was a kid. And it's, because we only had three channels and only one of them came in and showed all the old shows or whatever that were in syndication. And this one, I guess it's not revealed because the surgeons and stuff, you know, when you're in a medical theater for operations, everybody's gloved up and masked up and they have hair nets on and whatever, and all you can see are your eyes, right?
Yep.
And so all you hear is these people talking, and oh my gosh, I don't know if she's going to make it, and she's so hideous, how is she going to handle it, and all this other stuff. And it turns out that, in a nutshell, so I don't drag it out over, that these people are all talking about this woman who looks normal, like what we would perceive to be a beautiful female. Mm-hmm. And when they take their masks and stuff off, they look cavemanish, but they have really freaky features and they're all squished over one side like it's putty, or somebody's got like an eye up on the wrong side and it's all, their nose is squished to like down and over. You ever think of that?
All the time I do, because you know what? You even look at animals, like, you know, usually the male is more pretty than the female, depending on the species. And even, you know, what an animal's ideal of beauty is, how they pick their mates or whatever. Mm-hmm. I know it's not as complex as human nature, but definitely with humans too. I thought about that. You know, we get into extraterrestrial or whatever. Even when you go to different cultures, like I know there was that one where over the years they would add a row of brass with beads and their necks were super stretched, and the more beads you had, the beautiful you were, or, you know, depending where you go, it beauty's in the eye of the beholder, I guess. Or say we make first contact and, you know, they don't look like us. And, you know, say they have something similar to us that they, you know, they revere beauty, and we look at it and go, oh my God, it's hideous. And they think we're hideous.
Exactly. Hideous creatures. You remember the, it was probably like 1984, 85, I think, V the Final Battle. Mm-hmm. When it was a huge TV miniseries, and it was a limited TV show after in a year or so afterwards. Yeah. And it was about these big motherships showing up in the United States and Canada and all over the world. Mm-hmm. But they were reptilians, and they'd cover up their faces with human skin masks.
Kind of like what they're doing now.
and they had to learn to speak English, and Robert Englund's character was one of the reptilians that couldn't speak English very well, and so they had him just doing menial Joe job tasks because he couldn't take orders from anybody who spoke English. The whole thing is about coming in, taking stuff. Our battles actually being fought with people from probably not only in another galaxy, but another entirely different dimension. And it's funny that a couple of presidents previous already said that our biggest battle is yet to come, and it's going to come from a source that can access us without us even moving from the spaces that we understand. So when you think about that, the time and space frame that you believe that you understand is pretty limited.
All I keep hearing whenever I channel something from the other side or whatever it is we are a very young race. We have no idea, but you think about it, and I really believe this, that, you know, what you hear about, even when they retrieve vehicles, say from crashed alien ships, they don't have a, you know, a steering wheel and buttons and all kinds of stuff. They supposedly, you know, travel with their minds, with their consciousness, and they're able to pass through 60,000 million light years in a second, and so on and so forth. But my point is, are they, you know, I'm thinking they're probably able to go back and forth in time. Like, mm-hmm. We have that 911 time travel phone call that we did, that we talked about. But, you know, and you look at people that say they're coming back from the future, and all of them are saying in 2028, it's supposed to become a public thing that people can do that. I don't believe that. What do you think? That's 8 years from now.
Well, you never know. But then we have my theory, where there's been other people who have similar theory, that some of the quote-unquote alien people that are being reported are not actually aliens at all.
I believe that
they are ancestors of us. that they're actually coming from here, within the space of here, a sub here, that they are coming from a dimension or so away, and it's not really a time fraction, it's actually a space fraction within the space that we already occupy interdimensionally. But they are ancestors of ours from the future.
Interesting, because you think about that. I mean, you're going to go back to my favorite show, Supernatural, where they do the episodes with almost time travel, where, you know, Dean and Sam, especially Dean, travels back in time. For those of you not familiar with it, his mother died in one of the first episodes, mm-hmm. where tragically due to a demon attack. And these guys hunt monsters. And they also work with an angel by the name of Castiel. And there's a bunch of other characters in there as well. But Dean goes back and almost befriends his mother and his father when they were dating or just newly mm-hmm. married. There's a few episodes when they go back, because the other thing that they really examined with this, and it was interesting, the character was Mitch Pileggi from X-Files. Mm-hmm. And he played their grandfather that had died years before Dean was born even. And yet he mysteriously shows up. Like, they really, and where did he come from? How did he show up? Why was he there? Or, you know, how would they be able to go back in time? And I remember the one, it was actually really sad. Dean's telling his mother, because eventually he has to tell them that I'm your child from the future. Mm-hmm. So I thought about that. I know my kid from the future if I'd never seen him. I'd only seen him as a 4-year-old mm-hmm. or 2-year-old before he passed. And he says to her, don't ever get pregnant. Oh, don't. On November, I think it's 6th, 1982 or 84. If Sam, he'll be a baby, is crying, don't go into the nursery. Mm-hmm. And you find out why she goes. But also he tells her, don't ever get pregnant. And she goes, it's too late. I'm already pregnant. Because he was hoping if she didn't have the yep. kids. You know, so you start dealing with all that. But then you get into, you know, how much are you going to change? Because, you know, butterfly effect, you have to be really, really careful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't think about that, because you don't realize how one person, how many lives one person affects. And if you're not there, how many other people's lives are affected because you're not there.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. That's one thing I thought about with that my guest a couple of weeks ago, Dan Willis, was talking a little bit about Nikola Tesla and time travel, and that one of their scientists ended up finding one of his pieces of equipment, Tesla's equipment, in an auto junkyard, worked on it for a couple of years and got it to work, actually opened a portal with it, and this alien character came out. Did not use words, used telepathy, basically saying, what the hell are you people doing? What are you messing with? So
right.
I guess my thing is, how are we, I believe time travel already exists. There's mm-hmm. been enough through history. And that's, again, what my guest was talking about. A lot of stuff exists that we have no idea that exists. Like he said,
oh, yeah.
that type stuff. So the thing is in 8 years, how much are we going to evolve? Because think about it. I don't know, a lot of the human race, I don't know why I'd be sending out their time traveling and because they, you know, if they're going back in time, they're going to mess things up for the future. They need police for that one. Time mm-hmm. travel police.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something like that. But like Minority Report, where people are precognitively getting picked up for crimes, which they're already kind of initiating.
I was you read my mind again. I was thinking about Minority Report. That is so controversial
mm-hmm.
and definitely not something that I think, I hope we never see something like that. I really hope.
Yeah, we can really hope, but do you know that the powers that be, if they can precog their way into, because as it stands in the United States, at least, you are innocent until you are proven guilty by a panel of your peers, right? Right.
I believe it's pretty well you're guilty
so
claw your way to innocence, but
right. But the thing is that if they do precognitive crime, then they're going to get a mental criminal sketch of how everybody functions and figure out how or if that person is going to be capable of a crime and pick that person up before they can commit it.
But then you go back to exactly what you said. This has been my issue with it. You're innocent until proven guilty. If mm-hmm. you haven't committed it, even if somebody's seen you committing it in the future, mm-hmm. how do you know they're going to commit it? What if you lock them up for the whole day when that's supposed to happen? Like, what could happen unless you're a serial killer or something? A lot of people kill other people in a fit of rage, fit of passion, whatever it may be. Circumstantial. Not everybody is a psychopath or sociopath that, you know, is doing mm-hmm. this and over and taking great pleasure from it. Plus, mm-hmm. you haven't committed the act yet. So you're being punished, but you haven't committed the act yet.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so that would actually be encroaching on your rights mm-hmm. to openly and actively commit a crime, because you do have the right to commit a crime, but you don't have the right to harm anybody. You don't have the right to actually execute the crime. Yeah, but you have the right to think about it.
And plus you have the right to receive the consequences of your actions.
Exactly. And thinking about it this way, you know, all the people that have wished that they didn't have that bad day that led them to
exactly.
murder one. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, how many people that are actually... There really are some innocent people that are in jail for stuff that they didn't even do because of mishandling of evidence.
Lots.
So if we start using precog crime, there'd have to be parameters on that, like time, dates, things like that, where it's so stringent that people are not only not getting hauled in. Because like you said, maybe there's an existence where we walked into a different existence. Like, I think that this actually happens. Just give me a second here to explain it. Yeah. Let's say you and I are standing in the same room, right?
Yeah.
We're standing in the same room. We're getting ready to go out.
Mm-hmm.
And we walk out, but you decide mm-hmm. to go and turn to Dell because you have to talk to him about something. And I'm going to go ahead to the car
mm-hmm.
and wait for you. And mm-hmm. on my way, mm-hmm. I see a butterfly or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then something else happens, mm-hmm. but I'm no longer in your same timeline. I'm in a different timeline. You're in the timeline where you're talking to Dell.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go sit in the car, and then something changes entirely about our day because of those two things.
Exactly.
And so that's almost like a time thing where it could be, because I've actually experienced slides where something happened that I should not have survived, and I survived it. The other two people were alive as well, but they weren't and at the same place at the same time after it. So how do you explain that? I mean, other than it's some kind of time glitch.
I agree with you. It could be a time glitch, or depending on what your belief system is, maybe it was, I believe we all have a guardian angel. We've got guides. Maybe it wasn't your time to go at that time. I know what you're talking about, though. You've shared this with me before. Like you're like in a spot completely away from where you're supposed to be, not in another mm-hmm. state or something, but like, how did I get here kind of thing. But again, there's that video. And I know a lot of people have seen it. It's off of a Chinese mm-hmm. Traffic cam. It's in the middle of the night. And there's this, looks like a little old man wheeling across the intersection on his bike. And this car comes barreling almost out of nowhere, a truck. All of a sudden, you see this flash of light, and he's on the side of the road. The person thought he hit them, slammed on the brakes, got out, was looking for this person. And you just see him dazed over on the side of the road. He wasn't hit. And the other person that, whatever this was that saved him, has a black hoodie on and a jean jacket, black pants, but you can see the eyes briefly glow and the hands are glowing, and then just walk off the camera. How did that happen? Mm-hmm. Or there's video out there. I have seen literal video. No, could it have been posed? Maybe, but I've seen enough different ones where it's actually in the middle of nowhere. Where there's a traffic cam, it's usually in the middle of the bush somewhere, practically like a country road. Person looking this way, looking that way, starting to run and disappears. I've seen lots like that, or bicycles, or like a vehicle that was there, come out of nowhere. Like, where are these coming from? How is this happening?
Exactly. And like, I have no explanation for what happened that night, but I can tell you, as clear as it happened, like if it happened 10 minutes ago, I can tell you exactly who was in the car, exactly what happened that entire night. And then all of a sudden, bam, that everything changed in an instant. And it was really, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it, really, really bizarre. Mm-hmm. And because I know I've told the story when we were on the other network, I haven't really talked about it over here, but when I lived in southern France, I'll be really quick about this.
All right.
We were hanging out with some students in Grenoble and spent the evening at the Bastille, you know, drinking and whatever, but the car wouldn't start. So we ended up hitchhiking because we had to go all the way back to D, which is, I would say 6 hours away and through the Alps, driving the Alps. And for some of you who've done it, it's like being on a little tiny goat herder road where it's a 2-lane road, but there's in a lot of places it's dirt and there's no guardrails and it's super dark because a lot of places there's no street lamps or anything. And so we hitchhiked and it was me and David and Anik and, I can't remember his name. So when we all got in this old lady's car, she was kind of an odd bird. I have to say she was that, and everybody's like, oh yeah, she's going to be okay. And she was heading our general direction and we could just get off at the train station, take the train the rest of the way. No big deal. So I fall asleep in the car. Next thing I know it, I wake up. And an hour later, we're going down this windy, nasty, hilly road in the middle of the dark, dark of night. And here comes another car. The car is coming towards us very fast. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing but headlights. And I know because I heard it and saw it and felt it that that car,
excuse me,
bless you, hit us. I know it hit us. I know that it hit us. I know that I know. Mm-hmm. All I saw was a bright white light that filled the entire car. Mm-hmm. And then I have no other recollection except for in the next instant, it was just me and David and that older lady in the car. The other two passengers were not there. David didn't even remember that they were there with us. And the old lady didn't remember.
And you didn't have the accident at this time, and it's just the three of you?
That there wasn't any accident. There was no recollection. The car was fine.
Yes, so you definitely had a time slip, I'd
say. We're driving, and I'm like, are we dead? Was I dreaming? Everything. And David's looking at me like, you're insane. And it was just really, really strange. And the woman acted really weird. Like she was uncomfortable with us being in the car now. And she dropped us off at the nearest train station, which was really nice of her. And I said, so you didn't see the other two people that were with us? She's like, there was never two other people. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. And then, yeah. So that's gotta be a time slip or
that was, yeah. And the two other people that were with us were back in Grenoble when we got,
maybe,
Maybe what happened again, you know, maybe with the white light showing up,
did this happen right where there was a time in the fabric of time, a time portal? Was it your guides, you know, knowing that it maybe might have been something fatal? And like I said, exactly, it almost sounds a little bit like, except there was no person that did this, like the Chinese traffic cam.
Almost like that, but it was... But I know that we got nailed by that truck. I know we did.
Oh, I believe you. I know you. I've known you well. You're my best friend in the whole wide world. I know you're not going to lie about something like that or embellish it. Like, I believe you. And plus, I know you've told this story on the old network before.
And it's weird because, I mean, I'm sure with all the weirdness that you've been through that you have those moments where, why am I chosen for all this weirdness?
I don't know. I think it's just kind of like when we were talking before we went on the air. You know what? I think you're just, some people are just meant to it. I'm going to be real to encounter that. So I just kind of take it as it comes. But I think what it is, my theory on this is, and as Joe said last night when we did our paranormal at the end of it, there was somebody in the chat saying we were all going to hell because we believe in past lives and reincarnation. But I really believe the people that get a lot on their plate or have really crazy, unusual lives or whatever it may be are old souls. Whether we're in our infinite wisdom up above without the spiritual amnesia, if you want to call it, and pick this for ourselves knowing we can handle it, or whoever picks this for us knows we can handle it. So we get this kind of stuff. I definitely think, though, you had to have shifted timelines because, like, the fact that there's two people missing, the fact that you, like you said, you saw the light, you felt the car, you know, get hit, that I never really had a shift in time, but I know you've had this too, but missing time, literally was at the lights, and I probably told this story on the network before, but I was at the lights. I was really tired. This is kind of at the peak of the really awful activity at our house, and I hadn't slept in quite a few days or very little, and I was just running to the store 2 minutes away, and I knew this intersection really well, knew the rural areas all that went up the highway quite well too. I used to have that area as a visiting community nurse. I closed my eyes, and there was an hour and a half missing. I opened them. I was on some country road. I don't know what road it was. Miles away from where I had been, in front of this half circle abandoned building. My car was in the opposite direction. All the windows were all broken and stuff. And my phone's ringing. It's the Dell. Where the hell are you? And I had to say to him, I don't know. And he's yelling at me, what do you mean you don't know? You've been gone. Like, what's going on? I thought something happened. I said, I need to hang up. I need to check my, see if I can even get GPS here to find out where I am. He's still going, what do you mean you don't know where you are? I literally blanked. And don't know how I got there. Don't even know where. I couldn't find this building again if I wanted to. I don't even, there was no signs what road I was on. I just used GPS to go all these back roads and whatever to get back onto the highway. So,
wow.
I'm going to read our comments here, honey. Hang on. We got quite a few here. excuse me. So, hang on. I got to go back here. Oh, actually, oh, where are we going here? We're kind of jumping all over. So we got Shady D's theory, and then Zach says, Joe, I had a similar experience, but mine was with Bill's stepmom, LOL. Jay, just kidding. Talking about with Keanu. Then he says, or was it Ted's stepmom? I haven't seen that movie in a long time. And then Zach said he loves Drunk History. And then Shady D, I forgot this one. This is a good one. She mentioned about Baroness von Sketch for Canadian shows. Another really good one, but it's kind of become more Hollywoodized because I think it's been picked up by a U.S. network as Schitt's Creek. With Eugene Levy and his son. So that reminds me also, we used to have SCTV. That's where Bob and Doug McKenzie were from, John Candy, Eugene Levy.
Dan Aykroyd?
No, Dan was never on that one.
I thought he was.
No, he was on SNL, but I don't think he was ever on. You had Andrea Martin. It had Joe, what's his name? I can see him. He's got dark black hair. I don't think he was on that one. I'll have to check, but I don't think Dan was. John Candy was, though. That was really funny. But Schitt's Creek absolutely is funny. But there's not all Canadian actors on there, though, either. That's the only thing. Like, there's a lot of Canadians, but and it started originally in Canada. I don't know how they ever got away with the name Schitt's Creek. Imagine if that was your real last name, because people do have that.
I know, right?
Yeah, actually, Shady D has a really interesting theory here. Maybe someone brought the virus from the future. She said, I've been saying that for a couple of years. Our future humans have self-destructed and they've come back to fix things. Interesting. What's your thoughts on that?
Could be, possibly. I do think that it was manufactured. Somebody loved it and grew it, and because one of the telltale signs in the beginning of this mess was the fact that you can't pinpoint exactly who has it just by the kind of symptoms. They just call it asymptomatic. Well, it has a ton of symptoms that you could possibly have, even no symptoms. You can be a carrier and not even know it.
Even looking at it microscopically, you and I were talking about this. It's just perfect under a microscope, the way
Somebody worked on it pretty hard.
yeah, when you were saying somebody loved it and grew it, it made me think of Silence of the Lambs, that creepy guy building the human skin. I don't know why. It
It
just makes
puts
me
the
think of that.
lotion on its skin.
Yes. Oh, get
Or
goosebumps.
else it gets the hose again.
That's the hose again. Oh God. Oh, now I can watch that movie. I don't like horror movies. You know that. I know you love them. That's a psychological thriller. The worst part for me, I think, was in the end when Jodie Foster was there. I'm not giving anything away. She was in the dark. Thank God it was quick and over with. I hate jump scares.
Oh yeah. But it was great though, because with the foreshadowing and everything in the beginning with her training, and the end scene was just so intense. And I remember seeing it in the theater,
Yeah, Anthony Hopkins was amazing. I think Martha Stewart said that she was dating him for a while or something. And or somebody said they were, I'm positive it was Martha Stewart. And she said she couldn't continue to date him because every time she looked at him, she just kept seeing Hannibal Lecter.
That's funny. I'm going to be catty and say I thought that at that point that he was dating a lot of younger, I mean, a lot younger women. I mean, his current wife is a lot younger as well.
Well, maybe he needed a little homemaking or perfectionism. Maybe he couldn't stand the perfectionism. That's a
Needed
story.
an in between wife snack.
Yeah. I don't know. That would be creepy though. God. I don't know. The one thing I will say with Shady D's theory about did this come from the future? Is depending on your school of thought. I know this gets a lot of people if you don't believe in this, but I think this is coming from higher up, not just the government. And I really truly believe they always tell us what's coming. I don't know if it's the rules or what it is, but they will tell you, whether it's in a movie, whether it's in a book, it could be in a commercial, it could be a music video, but they always tell you what's coming. Not like 6 months before. It's usually a good 10 to 15 years before. So you could say, I never seen it coming.
That's funny because yesterday I watched Contagion. It's available on Amazon Prime if, for those of you that have are Prime. And Contagion is that movie about a flu-like virus that's like SARS. Then all of a sudden these people are getting it, and it's all around the world. And it happens when this woman, Gwyneth Paltrow's character, goes on a work trip to Japan. And she eats this five-star chef or whatever is fixing this wonderful meal, but I'm going to go ahead and give it away because you have to watch the whole thing a couple of times to get it because they piece it together over time. It's one of those movies where you see what's happening now, but then you see what happened in the beginning to start the whole process.
Yeah, to get to that point, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it turns out that that really awesome chef was actually cutting up a very expensive piglet or whatever that they were going to have for the supper he was going to serve, and he didn't wash his hands. He had been cutting it and then just wiped it on his apron and went out and shook her hand for a picture.
Interesting.
And then she goes at the table with all the Japanese businessmen, and she's, you know, schmoozing and, you know, putting the arms around each other for pictures and stuff like that. And then she gets on a plane with all these people, and then she has a layover and sees she had a lover at one point, and she meets up with them and then goes home to Matt Damon, who's her husband, and her son and her contract this disease, and the whole world ends up getting it. And it's one of those scenarios where even they're talking about FEMA camps, they're talking about inoculations, they're talking about this, that, and the other thing between WHO, the CDC, and FEMA. And it's a really interesting movie. I know that my sister is one of those people that's not really watching disaster movies right now, but I'm all for it. I'm like, you know what? If the sky's falling, I'm going to go ahead and watch Armageddon or something.
Maybe they'll give the answer to what the solution is. That's what I'm talking about. They put stuff out there like that. Mm-hmm. And to me, they always tell you now is that it's not time travel, but I think it's letting you know what's coming from the future. Mm-hmm. And then to even get into the Mandela effect, I was hoping to find some new examples. I ran out of time today to look. But, you know, I was listening. The Dell listens to a lot of podcasts. He does research all week for his show. Mm-hmm. And there was somebody on Joe Rogan, and it was a female doctor, and she was talking about the Mandela effect. Mm-hmm. And she said she had all the Bernstein Bears books as a child. She remembered reading it as Bernstein because it reminded her of Frankenstein or Bernstein. She said Bernstein Bears, right? She remembered this distinctly. She knew that's how the name was spelled. All of a sudden, as a grown-up, she's hearing Bernstein Bears. Why is she hearing that? She's thinking, no, it was Bernstein or Stain, whatever you want to say it. She said she knew because it always reminded her of Frankenstein. So I guess the books, I don't know if they were at her parents' house or whatever. She said she just about fell over when she went to go pull her old books out of her parents' storage. And it said Bernstein, not Bernstein. And she said she was adamant that she knew what the word was. She goes, how did that happen? How did all the titles change on the books?
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is the Mandela effect is also on the reverse too, because I remember it being the Bernstein Bears. And because that was one of the first books I read by myself. It was called Bears in the Night. And it was the Bernstein Bears.
And I always remember it as the Bernstein Bears myself too. So are we switch? Well, I think it's possible to switch back and forth between timelines, not realize it, but there's so much out there, like, you know, people that you thinking that had died, but really are still alive.
Or, you know, simple things like, you know, JCPenney's. Do you remember that growing up?
Well, we didn't have it here, but yeah, we went to Duluth.
When you go to Duluth, JCPenney. Well, now it's called Penny's.
And they never called it JCPenney's.
And, or like the peanut butter, Jiffy peanut butter.
Right.
They call it Jif. And they're saying that it was Jif the whole time. I'm like, no, it was Jiffy peanut butter.
See, that's an American, like, we don't get Jif or Jiffy.
Peter Pan.
No, well, we used to. No, it's Kraft. It's pretty well Kraft peanut butter. It's the best kind, I think, anyways. But
No, but I remember, like, we get Jif here now, depending on what store you go to. And yeah, I remember it being Jiffy. I do. I remember, because, like I said, we used to get a lot of products. We're only 3.5 hours away from Duluth, Minnesota, and between 6 and 7 hours to Minneapolis, depending on how quickly you're driving on traffic. So I've said this millions of times to you and probably on the air that on a long weekend, we'll probably see half of my city either in Duluth or even in Minneapolis. So, you get a lot of products because we're only 35 minutes away from the border. We even have a bus from our city that goes straight through right over the border. They've got on the reserve in Grand Portage, a big casino. And they have a joint venture between our city and that town to bring people from our city, even though we've got a casino here. So there's a really beautiful little town called Grand Marais, and it's about 1.5 hours away from here. It's about halfway from here to Duluth, Minnesota. And Grand Marais is beautiful. So lots of people go there, get groceries, do whatever, right? And come back. So I remember all these things with American brands. Like, yeah, that you're right. I always remember that.
Or Looney Tunes cartoons. How do you spell Looney Tunes?
Well, now it's with an EY, but it was always with a Y. Looney, right?
No, it's Looney Tunes. It's the tunes is different.
I don't know, Tunes.
See, I grew up with Looney, Toons, and that's Tunes. I was like,
No, actually, you are right. So did I, now that you say that. Yeah, it had two O's in it. It did.
And Curious George with his tail. In my Curious George books, and I wish that I had them, Curious George had a tail. Curious George does not have a tail in the current books.
Yeah, you're right. The old ones. I did have all those old books at my old house. I left them. I wish I'd taken them. They were my ex-husband's books, and he didn't want them from childhood. But I'm trying to. Yeah, he doesn't. But you're right. He did have a tail because there were pictures in the book. See, I'm older than you, so I was a bit old to read those books. But as a babysitter, I would read them to little ones when I was babysitting. And yeah, he had a tail because there would be pictures in the book of him hanging from the tree with his tail and by one hand and his tail wrapped around the branch.
And you know the athletic brand Skechers? How do you spell Skechers?
SK, well, I know how I look at it now. It's SKECHERS.
Well, that's how I bought them, and I actually recently bought Skechers, but it used to be with a T, apparently.
See, we, again, and I'm not the person to ask because we've only got about 100 to 110,000 people, depending on the time of the year with school and stuff. And the next biggest city is Winnipeg to the west, which is about 7 hours away. And then to get to Southern Ontario, you can't cross because lots of people think that we're really close to them, like in New York and stuff. But you can't cross Lake Superior. We're right on the northwest shore. So you drive all the way around all the Great Lakes to get down there. But in bigger cities, like for example, Sadie Dee is in Southern Ontario. And well, I'm going to go back a little bit. She says, SARS was brought to Canada in a similar scenario to this movie that you mentioned with Gwyneth Paltrow. She said, I worked with a guy whose best friend was living in either China or Japan. He came to Canada for a wedding. He remembered getting sushi at the airport before he left to come here. And by the time he got to Canada, he felt sick. He went directly to the hospital in Toronto. Interesting. Now, so Shady D says, Bears in the Night by the Berenstain Bears, or Berenstain Bears. She says, I think we still have an original copy. Now,
Nice.
know what you see on the book. And then she said, yeah, she remembers Jif Peanut Butter. She said, for Looney Tunes, it was Toones.
That's what I remember. And for more recent, okay, so Pikachu, what does his tail look like? Do you remember?
Oh, I remember this lightning bolt because my kids were majorly into Pokemon.
Is there any differentiation in the color from his tail?
Yep, it's got brown on it, and they say it doesn't anymore, right?
Yep.
probably got the toy still here with Pikachu with the brown on the tip. Mm-hmm. Or black. It's originally was black. I'm thinking of the figurines. Yeah. And they say there's no coloring, right?
Mm-hmm. And I remember Cheez-Its. I remember Cheez-Its, and because we didn't buy them because they were expensive, because I was raised by a single mother household. And mm-hmm. so we didn't buy snacks like that. But my friends had them. Everybody mm-hmm. had them. So I'd see Cheez-Its and with a Z.
Yeah.
Well, they're Cheez-It. And like, okay, so.
Like the actual so, word cheese?
So, yeah, Cheez-Its. And it's the I-T, the C-H-E-E-Z cheese and the I-T-Z.
No, it's C-H-E-E-Z and then
it's. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, you say Z. Yeah, sorry. Canadian, Z.
But when I was little, I'd say Z, and my mom hated that. I was raised on French-Canadian Sesame Street, so.
You're almost Canadian, I tell you that, because you're the only one of my American friends, really, that knows anything I'll mention to you. Oh, yeah, I know about that. Yeah, I know about that. Yeah. Most people don't know. I was going to say, though, a lot of these bigger brands they would have in the States. But yeah, I think I remember Skechers with a T now that I think about it, because I used to go back and forth to Toronto quite a bit and, you know, bigger malls there, go shopping and stuff like that. So it's not like I'm living in this little isolated little town and never been anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I have to agree with you. And actually, Shady D said, Zach, he goes, I hear you originally. That Pikachu's tail, the end was black. Yeah, I remember that too, mm-hmm. Zach. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and definitely.
I'm sorry. I was going to say for Zach, what color is C-3PO?
Oh, here we go. Gold, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I remember him.
Yeah.
Has Zach written anything?
Not yet. He probably will. We'll wait and see what he says.
Well, in the part of the Mandela effect is that C-3PO now has a silver leg. That the bottom part of his right leg is silver.
And you are right about that, because I did read about this when we were talking about time travel a while back. And no, he was always pure gold. Even the picture. I mean, I was old enough to remember when Star Wars came out, and that was a huge craze, all the toys, and he definitely was pure gold. Yeah, that's what Zach says, pure gold.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Shady D said copper, I can't even talk, C-3PO it is. She put CP-30.
Right?
Say it, C-3PO.
And no. And here's one for us, chartreuse. If I were to tell you about what color... or ask you what color chartreuse is, what would you say the shade is?
I always screwed this up. I used to think it was a green color, but it's pink, isn't it?
It's actually green. And this is where chartreuse comes from. It's a liqueur made by monks in Chartreuse, France. Mm-hmm. It's chartreuse green. This magenta-y pink.
Yeah. Yeah, because like, that's I thought it was always green. And then I thought, okay, maybe I don't know. Because, okay, this is what my parents had this chair from the 70s. And it was like gross, crushed velvet, sickly, icky green color, right? Like that, not even lime, but you remember, not even olive green. It was just gross, right? Mm-hmm. And when I moved in with my best friend, they gave it to us because we had no furniture and we had to carry it up 4 flights of stairs. And I was stuck on the word puce at the time. So that was the big joke about the puce chair, and puce is green. Like I always thought that that's what the color was. And then when I heard chartreuse was like this hot royal pink, I'm thinking, I thought that that was green too. Like maybe I don't know my colors. I'm not going crazy.
Right. No, you're not, because chartreuse, if you look up chartreuse liqueur, it's green.
Okay. So now we got to get to the point, because I mean, we could go on for hours about this. I know. And there's more and more happening,
mm-hmm.
but how is it happening and why is it happening?
Exactly. And that's the thing. And like I stated earlier, Like if you and I were in the same room, it's like, is there different forms of existence? Is there different times of existence in the same place? Because if you've noticed that some people seem like they're completely oblivious and you're the one that's walking around awake.
The Dell telling me, I'll tell him like probably 10 times a day about something. I told you this. No, you didn't. The same thing to me. I told you all about this. And I'll say, no, you didn't. I used to think first he was losing his mind or like, am I just not caring? Or like, I know he tunes me out half the time. I always joke because I don't know what it is and I'm not bragging about it, but I get people always telling me when I leave them a voice message, oh, I just love your voice. And I'll say, yeah, well, I'm sure my family doesn't agree with you. Probably wish it to have. So I'm thinking, am I going crazy? Like, is he tuning me out? And then am I tuning him out? And then I started realizing, looking more into this time stuff, that we can shift timelines without even realizing it. For example, Augie Nost, who's a friend of ours and has a couple of shows of his own, he has a machine called a time resonator machine. And if you want to see what it looks like and more about it, he was a guest on Leak Project on YouTube. He actually showed it for the first time. And there is somebody that makes these machines. You have to be careful with it because apparently there was a teacher who ordered, brought it up to his room, was messing around with it for a few hours. And his mother went up to call him for dinner. And he was not there. Just the time machine was there. And he's still not been found. So Augie apparently used this machine and went 6 months into the future. He said he was able to read a newspaper. He knew it was coming. I said, damn, you should have picked the lottery numbers. He goes, yeah, I know. So he took a picture before he left. And this is on his website. It's AAGE-NOST.com. And when you look at the picture, the first one, it's raining. There's a whole bunch of cars. I think there's an ambulance in the back and the tree has all the leaves on. So he said he tried to come back at the exact same time. And what happened was the picture he took was actually about 3 minutes later. The pavement is dry. There's like maybe one or two cars only. It's completely different cars. All the leaves are off the tree. And he says, I've never had anybody ask, but I'm more than happy to welcome you to take it and look at it pixel by pixel. I didn't do anything to this. It's time and date stamped. And it was, I believe when these pictures were taken, it was well before Photoshop was available. So go figure. Right?
Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's always fascinated me, the time resonator machine and how it works. And, I think the guy that makes it, his first name is Steve. And I didn't think that you could physically disappear with it. I thought it would assist you like with astral travel or lucid dreaming. But I know Augie said that this young kid that did this, he was in like 17 or so, he was talking about that you can't go too forward or like say back in time, because you have to have an electricity source to be able to plug the machine back in to be able to come back. He said that might have been what happened with this kid. He's probably stuck in some time zone. Hope he didn't go back to the dinosaurs.
Whoops.
You're not coming back from that one.
Yeah. See ya.
Well, there's no power source, he said, to plug it in. So that might have been what happened.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Go ahead.
I was going to just say that as a factoid, did you know that it's easier to go to the future than it is to go to the past?
No. So what's the theory behind that one?
Einstein's theory of relativity.
Okay.
So when you go forward in time, you have to, in order for you to not, let's say, have a significant amount of time pass on Earth, we have to go to the speed of light or beyond it in order to go forward and come back, because returning back to our same point in time would be almost impossible.
It is, yeah.
At this time frame, unless there's technologies, which is quite possible, that we're not entirely aware of. Now, going backwards in time is a much more of a feat, because you have to go to longer lengths and then getting back to your proper time would take longer. So,
excuse me, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, even think about that. I'm really on a movie kick tonight, Kate and Leopold. I love the movie. And it always messes with me. I'm not giving away the movie, the whole thing, but towards the end, when they're looking at pictures, Leopold, which is Hugh Jackman, and I think his name's Lee Schreiber. He's her old boyfriend of, why can't I think what her name is? Blonde haired, big star back in the 90s. What was her name? Do you remember?
Is it Reese Witherspoon?
No. She was in When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, Meg Ryan.
Thank you. So Meg Ryan is Kate. And what they're doing is basically, I guess Leopold ends up, he finds a rip in a fabric of time and comes forward, being very easy, like you said, to come forward in time. Mm-hmm. And he's back before the elevator gets created and all kinds of stuff. Anyways, they meet and they fall in love. But the thing that happens is, it screws with my mind, is when they're trying to arrange all this, and there's a lot more involved in the story. I don't want to give it away for people. If you haven't seen the movie, it's a good movie. But they're looking at pictures, and she had actually gone back in time to say, like, I guess she wanted to be with Leopold. He got back to his own time frame, which was in, okay, I think, the late 1800s, for who haven't seen it. There's pictures of her, and she's already in the background already, but these were taken from the first time that the one character, I think, went back in time. So is it a time loop? Like, what is, it just messes with my mind. Mm-hmm. How did she end up with those pictures when she was just here supposedly for the first time going back in time? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think I'm explaining it properly.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's like, how would that exist if she hadn't done it yet? But the truth is that if we exist ad infinitum at any one given time doing everything possible, then another version of her is already in existence previous to that in his time.
I guess. I don't know, it messes with my mind. Zach, wondering if you can call into the show. Are you okay with me connecting him in? Okay, Zach, the only thing I'm going to ask my friend is, if you're outside, can you go closer to your router? Because there's a real delay with you being outside, and there's it really cuts out a lot. Have you found that as well, Sarah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're able to be closer to your router, that would be great, because then we'll know when you're going to talk, because that's what kept happening. We would either talk over you or vice versa, because there's quite a delay. And then, like I said, we can't hear a lot of what you say because it cuts out. So let me add in here. And for anybody else that ever wants to call into the show, we do like to have callers. So if we have you on Skype, it's easier. Because I can just add you in like I'm doing to Zach. But if not, we can just text our wonderful Joe, who owns, Joe Montaldo, who owns UPRN and is our producer. He makes our jobs look easy. He does all the hard work for us behind the scenes. We just have to let him know, and he'll make sure that the Skype line is open and people can call in.
Yep.
Sorry, I was just reading the comments while we're waiting for Zach. Hey, Zach.
Hi, ladies. How's it going?
Good.
It's going all right.
Shady D said that movie was too trippy, talking probably about Kate and Leopold. So, Zach, have you got any more examples of the Mandela effect or AMU and anything with time travel or anything? Like, we shared a few things even personally. Have you noticed anything in your own life?
Yeah, in some aspect, I have seen it. Like, when I take it back at maybe older cartoons that I would watch as a child, I would see just different little things that would be changed, or really just different outcomes from the story, you know, or just little tiny dialogue maybe that would change. Like I remember actually going back to the Star Wars reference, actually, when I was a kid, seeing the Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
There was scene there where Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker are in Cloud City, and he revealed that this is just from my own experience. I always remember Darth Vader saying, "You know, Luke, I am your father."
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But then when I got older, it, you know, the dialogue was changed to, "No, I am your father."
Yeah. And I remember that specifically because it was before memes, but it was always a joke. Luke, I am your father. And mm-hmm. and I couldn't believe that it had changed either. Mm-hmm. You remember that too, Sarah, like that way?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of those things that when the Mandela effect things first started coming out with people saying that there's different stuff. And I'm like, no way. And then they played the sound clip and I'm like, what the heck? That's just not right. You're messing with my childhood memories here now.
Exactly. So that's why I said, like, why is this happening? And we're seeing the physical evidence of it. And the thing is, it's almost like the younger generations are getting the different versions and us that are a bit older remember the old stuff. But like we're seeing physical evidence change. We're hearing people like again, we go back to the Berenstain or Berenstain Bears. Like,
yeah,
the books have changed to whatever you don't remember them as. Like, how does that happen?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's weird because when you think, because I thought the Jif peanut butter thing could have been just a marketing ploy to shorten things up and make it zazzier or something, mm-hmm. or even pennies. Like, why would you take the JC from the Pennies? Because JC Pennies is mm-hmm. the name of the franchise store. Like JP Morgan Chase, mm-hmm. that's now Chase or Chase mm-hmm. Bank, and JP Morgan is on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that it's not been JP Morgan Chase. It's always been JP Morgan Chase since I was in diapers. Before that.
I remember JCPenney's because there was an outfit. I used to get their catalog online. I used to have a credit card with them. And there was a beautiful outfit. It was this pink, light pink halter top I got with little straps. It was really dressy. Cute. And then the jeans, I actually bought the jeans in that line that year. I think I still have them. They've got a strip of rhinestones across the pockets and the capris, their jeans, they've got the same rhinestones right up the side where the cuff is.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a beautiful thing. I couldn't find anything like that here. And I remember JCPenney's, even the little credit card I had, JCPenney's, same mm-hmm. thing.
Wow.
So, Zach, have you got any theories on why the Mandela effect is happening?
Well, a lot of it really can be explained, though, just by, like what was mentioned before, that, you know, companies might shorten down a name for, you know, just marketing purposes or whatever it might be. But, I mean, there are some aspects where, yeah, it just feels almost like the time stream might have shifted over to another timeline, whether we recognize it or not. That's really the only thing I can really think of. You know, some things can be explained, but other things just it can't be. It's just so awkward that there's this whole mindset that we remember certain aspects of, you know, pop culture or whatever it might be, but then, you know, something else is, you know, portrayed. I mean, I'm still studying the concept of the Mandela effect myself. I only learned about it very recently.
Oh, so, really?
I mean, yeah. So I'm getting into that as well. And I'm like, oh, this is weird. And I'm taking a look back at, like I mentioned before, just little tiny things I remember when I was a kid. And I'm like, well, I don't remember it being like this. I remember being like, so how did this change come about?
I agree with you, but I guess I got to ask you, do you think time travel is possible? Do you think it's already been around for a long time? What's your thoughts on that?
I do think that time travel is possible, but it's not something that has been portrayed in the media. As for going back in time, I don't really know too much about that. When I think of time travel itself, I think of it being more as a personal kind of experience, something you see in visions or dreams. Because, I mean, I had my own experience when I was younger. I mean, I've only seen the future once. Mm-hmm. And it was when I was 16, and I had it. It was in a dream that I had. And everything happened verbatim in the dream that happened in real life. And in that dream, I asked a girl out to a dance. Mm-hmm. And it happened. Mm-hmm. That's the only real experience of time travel that I've really seen before. That's that I saw the future happening. But I mean, I've never seen anything in the past or anything like that. I really don't have an idea really how I can even replicate something like that, you know, but is it possible? Absolutely.
Well, yeah, no, I believe you about dreams. I mean, I think it's important that we pay attention to our dreams. Sometimes it's just, as it's been labeled, nonsense dreams, where the brain's basically sorting out what's happened throughout the day. Is this useful? Is it not useful? Whatever. We get a crazy dream. But sometimes we get a lot of important information in dreams, whether it's prophetic, whether it's symbology. You know, there's some kind of message in there, something that your higher self or subconscious, whatever you want to call it, is asking you to pay attention to. So I don't know, Sarah, like I think time travel has been around for a long time, don't you? Like, we can talk about the Philadelphia experiment and go on from there, right?
Oh yes, absolutely. And I was going to say to Zach, I had to be schooled on the Mandela effect, because I thought and Laura can attest to this, because we talked about this at length when we first were getting to be friends and stuff on the old show. And I thought a lot of it had to do with just really super poor education and stuff like that. But now there's stuff that's popping up that's irrefutable. Mm-hmm. Like what's going on with C-3PO's leg. And because, you know, I being a Star Wars fan since I was a kid, because it was part of my childhood, that... my sister and I got Christmas gifts, and I got a stormtrooper, and my sister got C-3PO, and they were the big.
That's not fair.
They were 22, the 22 inch ones. We both still have them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They're worth a lot of money, but C-3PO is entirely gold. His right leg is not silver. So are we just drifting into two or more or many different planes of existence where there's many possibilities and different name changes, and it just appears to you the way it's supposed to appear, and that's what the right one is for you? Or that's how you know that you're in the right existence? I don't know. I'm kind of confused by it. What do you think?
Well, I gotta say quickly that we could even go back to how we were talking about at the beginning of the show, that there supposedly is multiple versions of Earth, of every person on this timeline, of timelines, of so on and so forth. Supposedly we are able to shift timelines. And you just talked about something yourself tonight, Sarah, with a very, very unusual experience. But I mean, I've known you for how long? I know you're telling the truth, but I believe you absolutely. Or Zach, you've had a dream that kind of told you what was going to happen. I mean, I think it goes back to, in a nutshell, that we're capable of so much more than we've ever been told that we are. I don't know, Zach, what do you think?
I'm sorry, I missed the question there. What was the question?
Just basically asking you that, you know, what's your thoughts on why this is happening? Like Sarah talked about, you know, we're shifting timelines, or it could be a bunch of different reasons why. Like, and I was just mentioning that at the beginning of the show, we had talked about, you know, multiple dimensions, multiple versions of every human being on this planet. Do you believe in that, or do you think it could be something else?
Oh, absolutely. There are multiple dimensions, and I fully believe that we are able to transcend that, you know, in whatever aspect we are. But there's always some kind of baseline that really everything goes off of. So as I see it, you know, there's the main baseline right there to where all the events happen. But then also there's little tiny segments, little off branches that anybody can take at any given time, and it would severely affect their timeline, however it may be. So
sorry, Zach, you're cutting out. You might have to move closer. I didn't hear any of that except so.
Oh, yeah, I'll move it a little closer to me. I mean, the best tool that I've used really to keep my timeline pretty consistent in getting the outcome that I want is that I've been going off of my gut instinct. And it's definitely saved my skin on multiple occasions. Like, I mean, there were times where I almost got into fights with people, physical fights. And then my gut instinct is telling me, no, don't do this. This is not the outcome you want, because the outcome you're going to get is not going to be the one that's going to put you in a good place. And I've been very thankful for that it has happened. But really, it's just, and of course, I'm just speaking on a more personal level. But mm-hmm. I guarantee you that there are ways to manipulate the timeline. It's just, really, it's not just a one thing that goes on. It could be multiple things, and I wish I knew them all, to be honest.
Well, I have to agree with you, and I'd love to hear what Sarah thinks too, because, you know, I think it's a good thing right now that humans aren't able to, well, most of us anyways, aren't able to consciously shift timelines or, you know, go back in time. If I could go back in time, you hear this all the time, what I would change. And the reason, you know, when you start doing stuff like that, you cause major paradoxes in the future. To me, and I always usually, if I'm, you know, with students I'm working with and stuff, I say embrace it all, because going back in time, you'd never end up with what you have now. And look at the person you are right now, to this place in time right now. All that happened in your past and your future has brought you to where you are. What's your thoughts on all that, Sarah?
Sorry. my thoughts are basically the same. A lot of people ask me, well, if you could do it all over, would you? Nope. I don't want that juju on me. I don't want to choose a different part of my existence, go to the same place in that existence and have everything unfold very differently, either for the good or for the bad of it. The path that I'm walking has formed my charming personality. And
so
you know that this is why this is the Seraphine that you see in here right now, because of what I've walked through and because of the study that I've done or because of situations that have come up, just like I'm sure for yourself, Laura, for yourself, Zach, that things that you've personally been through have helped form you in the today that you are. And all we can do right now is live our best life in the time that's given, no matter what time that is, because time is a construct. So just you need to exist. Strive to exist in your best existence.
All I was going to say to that is, Sarah, yes to everything you said so beautifully and eloquently stated. Very, very important.
Thank you.
You got anything to add to that, Zach? We're just about out of time here pretty soon.
Well, definitely. I want to piggyback off of what Seraphine had said, that, you know, where I've gotten to this point is the man who I am today. And I haven't asked that before. It's, well, if you can go back in time, would you change this? And I'd say no, because then I wouldn't have learned anything from the experience itself. that molded me into a better person. And I'm always learning. I'm not perfect. And I always take every single bad moment, every single good moment as a life lesson. This is the thing you need to do. This is how you need to act. So would I, if given the opportunity, would I go back in time and change something? I pretty much have become a better person today based on my own experiences.
I have to agree with both of you, you know, because you'll hear people say, well, if I only knew now what I knew then. And I think that, yeah, we're always learning, we're always growing, we're always evolving. But the thing that's most important, I think, to me about why I would not go back in time is the people that are in my life right now. That if I went back in time and changed something, there's a very good chance none of them would be there. I wouldn't have my children. I wouldn't have my friends. I wouldn't have my partner I'm with, even everything in my life. And, you know, we can't see the big picture. We can't see what's ahead, depending on what your belief system is. You know, I believe they know what's coming, but we don't. And I also have to add that even sometimes during the worst things that have happened in my life, when there's been some time to heal and look back on it, you can see how it all unfolded, that it needed to happen for other things that to happen, to either move something out of the way or to send it on the right direction to come to fruition, whatever it may be. But I do have to say it's usually ended up with something better, or it's been better for the family. Whatever it's been something better. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you find that too, Sarah? Like, a lot of people have a hard time looking back on that and seeing the lesson or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one of the things that when you do look back, it's like, yeah, hindsight's always 20/20, right? Mm-hmm. That you can't spend your life looking in the rearview mirror, because you're not going to go too far forward, because you can't see the forest for the trees. You have to keep your eyes on what you're looking at, keep mm-hmm. your hands on the wheel, and keep driving, you know,
what the direction you're going. Yeah, because we're not going back. Mm-mm. But that's what worries me about time travel. Like, I guess unless the human race evolves drastically, say within the next 8 years, if this is really what's coming in around 2028, 2030, I think people are going to mess up a heck of a lot of stuff going back in time, especially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because some things were just not meant to be messed with. And you give kids the keys to the toy cupboard, and maybe not all of those toys were meant for us to play with right now. That's maybe they're not for what you think they're being used for. Mm-hmm. You know,
love that analogy. That's awesome. Well, Zach, I didn't want to give you a few more minutes, just a minute or two, just to see what your final thoughts are, because we're almost out of time.
Mm-hmm. Well, pretty much I wholeheartedly agree exactly with what you ladies are saying, is that you can't always keep, you know, looking at the past and living in the past. You have to keep moving forward over for the future. I mean, I'm going to piggyback off of what you said, but both of you said yesterday and last night's show, mm-hmm. is keep your eye on the prize. And mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, my eyes are always on the prize, whether they're in the highs and the lows, just keeping an eye for it. And even if I don't get the prize I'm looking for, if I get something that's even better, I'm all for it, man. I've been through hardships in my own life. I mean, I take a look back at before I got my first full-time teaching job. Mm-hmm. I was living in a house with other roommates that I really didn't care for. Mm-hmm. Had so many car problems. I had very little money, but I would not trade those experiences for anything in the world, because I got something way better than what I originally was going for.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, yeah, teachable moments.
Yeah, I think it's the way you perceive it. Well, thanks, Zach, for always being here and offering a call in. We love you guys. Thank you, Shady D. She was just heading out. I know she's got to head over.
Have a good night, Shady.
To her group. And thanks, Zach, again for being here always. We love having you. We really appreciate your support, as well as everybody else who listens and supports and listens to the archives. Thank you so much for supporting us, and more importantly, UPRN as well, too.
Yes. Remember to like, share, and subscribe. And we do definitely love our listeners. So if you have a word to drop to us, you can find us on all of our social medias under our names. Seraphine Hurley and Lurley Podfin. There's not too many of us around, actually. So,
well, thanks again, Zach. You have a wonderful rest of your evening, and we'll see you here next week for sure. If I don't talk to you before.
Absolutely, ladies. You all have a good night and have a great week in everything you do. All right.
You as well, sir. Stay safe.
Have a safe long weekend.
I will. My birthday is coming up on Friday, so I'm really excited about that.
Well, happy early birthday.
Happy early birthday. Good for you, Zach. Have a great one.
You too, ladies. Have a good night.
Okay. Good night, Zach.
And on that note, too, I want to wish everybody in, I forgot to wish everybody in Canada yesterday, happy Victoria Day weekend. It's called, we always have the long weekend before, a weekend before you guys, but in the US, you guys will be celebrating Memorial Day coming up this long weekend, right?
Yep. Memorial Day.
Yep. So everybody have a wonderful Memorial Day, and Zach, have a great birthday, and anybody else with a birthday or anything else exciting coming up. Right.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that everybody enjoy themselves and remember to stay safe. And, you know, but you don't have to like the things that happen that are not the greatest, but you do have to live your best life. So choose wisely.
That's right. And we will be back next week again. You want to tell people, Sarah, where they can find you? And then I guess I'll tell them where they can find me.
They can find me in the seventh dimension.
Yes.
And usually in my full form, but not, you know, always ethereally, but yes. And always usually a female, a human female usually. So
yeah, you can find Joe with Keanu Reeves in an alternate dynamic.
Yes, right. Wow. Well, the Matrix would have had a really different ending.
Yeah.
Can you picture Joe in like black latex?
All I kept thinking was so much for Trinity.
I know, right? It's Joe. It's not Trinity.
Oh, God. Black latex with the trench coat, the glasses.
Yeah. It's Jophius.
Josephus.